and welcome to episode 8 of In the Doll's House. It's been a long time coming, but we're back and ready to delve into the world of raising daughters.
This week, we introduce a new father into the Doll's House, and he's brought some of his best toys to share with us.
We'll ask him about his own parenting journey, the initial stages of becoming a parent, and how his life has changed.
So grab your brew, pull up something comfortable to sit on, let's ménage à trois in the Doll's House. So, Dean, it's been about a long time since I've seen your wonderful face. How are things going? How are the family?
Yeah, it's been a few changes. It has been a little while, hasn't it? It is my fault that we've not been recording, I have to say, because we've been getting used to a bit of a new routine due to a medical diagnosis.
Right.
So we chatted a lot about reflux that my daughter had got and the things that surrounding that. It's now been diagnosed as, what's it called now? I've completely forgotten the name of it. That's good, isn't it?
It can't be that bad, then.
Yeah. So basically, the valve that decides whether something is liquid or air as you swallow or breathe in doesn't quite work properly.
Oh, God.
So, I've remembered it. It's called chronic aspiration. That's what it's called.
Chronic aspiration?
Basically... chronic aspiration.
That's like if you want to, like, it's like a goal I'm never going to achieve.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, it's where when she drinks, she takes a little bit into her lungs.
Oh, shit. Right.
Yeah, so it's pretty serious, but at the moment, it's medicated. So we've just got to see how that goes for the time being until... the consultant decides what happens next.
Okay. Have they said, like, is that a long-term thing? Or is that something is it something that's predominantly, like, in infants? Or is that something that she'll have to manage, obviously, as she gets older?
Completely unsure, to be honest. We're just waiting for more information from the consultant. So what happened was the doctors had a look at the scans and we got a message back to say that there was nothing wrong. So she had a chest x-ray and the consultant basically looked at the history and said, that can't be right. So went back into it and had another look and found something. So, it's just a waiting game now. We're waiting until we can get back in with this consultant to tell us what the next
is. Is that the same consultant that you were speaking to like quite highly of a while ago? Is that the same fella, is it?
I didn't go to that appointment. I can't tell you, to be honest.
Right.
I'd speak quite highly of this guy as well because he obviously went back in after everyone had said there was nothing wrong and went in and looked at it in fine detail because he thought that the symptoms were just, it was a bit too much to not pay attention to it.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
So,
I suppose one hand, it's good to get the diagnosis so you know what you're battling against. But then again, if there's no, you still got the questions on how that, you know, that the long term kind of side of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, the really good thing is that the diagnosis has meant that the medication's been changed.
Right. Okay, dokie. I suppose that's good then. So she's doing better in herself.
Yeah, so, I mean, generally, she's all right, to be fair, now. It's the change in medications made a big difference. So, I mentioned that she was on omeprazole before. She's now on double the dose of omeprazole, and she's on Gaviscon. And they've said to use Infacol if things get worse as well. So,
I think we've had Infacol.
Yeah. I mean, we used it when she was first born, because it's supposed to be quite good for... reflux, and it's just like a little pipette thing, isn't it, with little drops that come out the end. We used it when she was first born, but we've not really used it since, so we've got some more just in case. But I think the main thing that's made a difference is the double dose of omeprazole. That's made a big difference. So we're just plodding along, trying to get medical things sorted out and waiting for consultants to get back to us.
Are they pretty good at getting back though? Are they pretty good at, like, how long it took, like, test for the results to come through? I think was it 2 weeks, like you said before?
It was a couple of weeks before we heard that there was nothing wrong, and then about a week after that we had a phone call off the consultant. So, I mean, they are generally pretty quick, but they're obviously very busy people and they're booked up with a lot of appointments. So it's just waiting for the next available appointment and also for them to review things and decide what they want to do next, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bit of waiting around, but generally things are getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, how's things with you and your crew? You're getting closer to number two landing, aren't you?
Yeah, it's... So ours is like, obviously, Aaron, what you go through, we've had it like really, we've had it really easy, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's rubbing it in your face or anything, but like so we've just done the nursery today. Rachel's painted the nursery.
The royal
I said yes to the colour. Yeah, that's actually the colour that we've put on the wall. It's a green.
Nice. So what colour did you say yes to, or did you just say yes? It's a tone of green.
I didn't read what tone. I was like, yeah, that's nice. But that could have just been the colour of the bucket. So I don't know. It's nice. A surprise to everybody. but yeah, going really well. So you were saying about like you still had that is it Omeprazole? You had that in.
Omeprazole, yeah.
Omeprazole. So Eden's had, we think she had tonsillitis. So we were going to give her some amoxicillin that we had in the side, but it was a right horrible green colour.
On the walls? Yeah.
yeah, there's a theme here. Like everything's green in our house. Even the dog's limping. So we had a look at it. I was like, we messaged Rachel's brother, who's a GP. It's like, can we use that? He was like, no, don't use it. So she's been a bit ill. We managed to take her to the doctors, but it's impossible to get her. So she let him look through her ears. Yeah, she went
the other way around.
His ears. Yeah.
Nice.
You don't look well, Doc, to be honest with you. Could be tonsillitis. So she did all that, but then she's like painfully shy. She didn't open her mouth or anything like that. It was a bit of a shock. And then as soon as she got outside, she was fine. But we went out for something to eat with the family, and she literally just like has her eyes shut for hours. Like she just wouldn't look at anybody. Then eventually she kind of got
asleep,
out of her shell. No. So she's just like, as I say, painfully shy. She wasn't even when we went out yesterday with her nan and granddad, who she sees every week, and she loves her nan. And a granddad, but yeah, she just wouldn't look at him. She's just like in a shell, just wouldn't look up for ages. And as soon as you get in the van, she's like, "I was shy, wasn't I?" So yeah, okay. But yeah, other than that, mate, yeah, we're about six weeks away from number two arriving.
6 weeks from touchdown. So are you ready? Have you got everything ready? I mean, last time we chatted about this briefly, didn't we? And obviously, you can go back to our earlier pods to just check what you do need.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, 50% of the of the adults in this house are really well organised. So we have got a baby list, and on there there's wash basket. I don't know for who that's for. Formula machine, bottle drying, newbie UV dummy steriliser, Moses's basket. I don't know who Moses is, but if he
might be a bit wet, that
basket,
mate.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Well, that was Noah, wasn't it, with the boat? Either way. And then a nest. But those nests, we had a nest. I think we lent it to somebody. And I thought that'd be fine. They're about 80 quid.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
So expensive. So everything's going all right. But I don't know if I'm the right person to speak to.
Okay. You think there's a list. There's some things on it. But you've learned not to take green medicine.
Well, it's fine. Just, well, couldn't be worse, could it?
I mean, could have given her superpowers.
I don't know what her, like, what would her superpower be? Honestly, the amount of snot that comes out, the amount of mucus woman, it just comes out of every hole. It's like there's only so far. Like we were trying to find, like, you know, muslins are quite big, aren't they? They're like a foot by a foot, aren't they, or something? I think we've got a dry corner here that'll do.
Nice. Roll. Does she do them sneezes where more stuff comes out of her than the size of her head?
Like that. She does the bubble like that.
Oh, I like them. They're good, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a visual thing, that was, so it's not really good for a pod. You know, obviously having a second one, I don't think I'm the right person to speak about it. So we've decided to get a menage a trois. We've got a third person to join us. So we've talked about Paul a few times on the pod. But I think if this was a computer game, Paul would be like a level ahead of us. So welcome to the pod, Paul.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome.
It's a pleasure. I've been enjoying listening to the podcast so far.
Yeah. Hi, long time listener, first time caller.
First time caller. But like I said earlier, Chris, it's been an interesting listen because, you know, you've got no idea what's coming, have you?
No. Well, one of my questions was going to be, like, does it get easier?
What do you want? Do you want the honest answer, or do you want me to
always go with honest? Always go with honest.
Your life easier.
I want you to lie to me, Paul.
I can't lie to you. It's some of it is easier because you've already had one child, so you remember lots that you think you might have forgotten. It all just comes back to you, like nappy changing and feeding.
Right.
I found I was definitely more relaxed the second time.
Yeah.
I think you just naturally are because it's like with anything, you're more experienced, you know, you feel like you know what you're doing. But with two, there's always, you've kind of like, it's like one child each sort of thing.
So just to kind of put a bit of history.
One of you has a break.
Yeah,
go on. Sorry.
If we put a bit of background to it then. So you are the father of two girls.
Two girls.
So your two girls, what are their ages?
So we've got one is five and a bit. She was five in December, mm-hmm. So she started school last September.
Yeah,
and then we had our second in June last year. So she's about 9 months. She just turned 9 months.
Okay.
So our eldest is slightly older than yours.
Yeah.
So there's a slightly bigger age gap. So that has helped.
Right.
Because our eldest is a little bit more self-sufficient,
able to babysit as well. You got a babysitter.
You go out for days.
She's a great babysitter.
Yeah. You go to one of those Butlins 90s, don't you? Come back leathered. Where have you been? There's your 20 quid.
she's not quite that self-sufficient yet. But, you know, a couple more years, hopefully. So that made it a little bit easier because I know I hear stories from some parents who've had two under two or a toddler still, and I think it's a lot harder. So and
twins as well. No, a couple have had twins. Oh my God.
Yeah, so from that point of view, that's made it a lot easier. But I think it's just the time aspect. You've got less time. And like obviously I've gone, as a dad, you go back to work after 2 weeks and suddenly your days are just work for your 8 hours.
Yeah.
And then you've got a drive home where, you know, the last few weeks has been nice because I've been listening to your podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Little break from parenting by listening to you two talk about parenting.
Like a buzzword children. Yeah. Sorry,
well, we kind of like, oh, well, at least it's not just me. At least there's other people, you know, going through the same sort of things.
Parts of me wants to say, like, you don't have to listen, but then parts of me, like, we do want the data. So if you just put it on mute.
You know, every little helps, doesn't it? So don't always get to finish it because obviously my journey home is only 20 minutes, so it takes a few days. But
right.
You know, I've been getting the gist.
Get the gist. So,
but like I say, I've kind of been listening to it, particularly for you, Chris, thinking, oh, you've got no idea. But feeling, even though I'm a novice, feeling like I'm Ronaldo compared to you in sort of football terms.
Well, the big fat one or
bit of both, I suppose, just in answer to your question, time, it's harder on you time because you just get home from work and it's full on because you've got two bedtimes to do, dinners, feeding, everything. But there are some rewards, obviously.
I'm waiting for them.
Which I can talk about. Yeah, we'll go for them. I mean,
I'm sweating, Paul. Give me something.
but Luna's not, our eldest, he's absolutely loves the younger sister, loves being a big sister, and now youngest is now she's 9 months, she's aware of more of what's going on. She just adores her. She laughs everything she does. She just laughs at her.
It won't last.
When she starts crawling around and nicking her toys, I'm sure there'll be arguments, but she just looks and stares at her the whole time, and particularly when we're in the car, she's got her head forward looking at her.
Oh, that's cute.
Like, what's she doing?
Yeah.
So through the some of the more difficult times as that, and you just laugh. We just laugh as parents, which is funny.
So is your wife, is she still on maternity leave, is she?
Yeah, so she's on maternity leave for another few weeks. So we've kind of like had one leap, which is me going back to work, and then we've got into a routine while she's on maternity leave. But the next big thing, and another thing about having two, is sorting out childcare, drop-offs, things like that. So that'll come when she goes back to work in the next few weeks.
Because your youngest is very similar in age to Dean's as well, so you're probably going through the same sort of. Is it like? Because I'm sure you were saying that you're doing a phase, your daughter's phase into like there's going to be more days in the week that she's going to be going on. Is that right, Dean? Just kind of remind us of that.
Yeah. So after this Easter break, my partner goes back to work for how many days is she going back for? She's going back for 3 days. And our little girl will be in nursery for 2 of those days, and then grandparents are helping us for 1 of those days. So, and then that's through until September. And then in September, we're both going to go to 4 days. So I'm going to drop a day. My partner's going to drop a day. And then she'll be in nursery for 3 days at that point. So, yeah, we're doing a bit of a phase for our little one, so that she's getting more used to being at nursery more often, but she loves being there. So, because she's been doing 1 day a week for quite a while now, actually, probably about nearly 6 months. So, yeah. And she's kind of just got past now not getting ill every time she goes, which is great.
Yeah. It is a petri dish, though, isn't it? Especially like more so for your daughter, if she's got like that immune issue, but like, I saw a really funny TikTok the other day where like it's a parent sort of get like handing over their her full paycheck sort of thing.
Seen this,
and then saying, "Oh, is your there's your illness, but now you're not allowed in because you've got an illness that she's got from the." So there's a lot of that. So if we go back to Paul, like back in the beginning where you first, like you and your wife decided to have your child in the first place. So think about when your eldest was born. What was that process like? Was it without kind of going into too much detail? Was it a planned thing or like it, you know? I'll try to be diplomatic. Was it a planned thing essentially for you to start a family?
You can just get straight in there. Yes, it was a planned thing. Yeah. Don't worry about being diplomatic.
Yeah, was she actually listening?
I mean, she might listen to this when she's older. So definitely, I've got to say, she definitely was planned. No, she was so. Bit like your journey, really, Chris. Myself and my wife got married. We've been together a number of years, got married, and then we both knew we wanted to have children. We were really fortunate for our first child. It went really quite smoothly. Everything went, so no issues, really. And then she came along in the December of that year. But listening to particularly yours, Chris, your journey is very similar to ours. It was kind of planned when we were going to go into the hospital, and it was quite nice listening because it's sort of reminiscent for how it went for us. And it's like, it's just an amazing time, that first few weeks, dead special. Family, especially being over Christmas.
It's been good.
So it landed well with Christmas and time off with paternity leave because there was a bit of natural holiday.
So you're off anyway then,
So extending my paternity leave. So it was a really good time. But the jump from having no children to having a child was massive. Yeah.
Is that a bigger jump from 0 to 1? Is that bigger than the 1 to 2, is it?
Definitely.
Oh, sorry.
Definitely.
Did you have that switch thing that happened? Because we chatted about this in one of the earlier pods. Like, it's almost like... You have this child and then a switch flicks and you just change to parent mode and it's like, this is what I do
you
now.
You just sort of turn off your old life. This is your life.
Say goodbye.
And then spend 4.5 years adapting to that.
Yeah.
Get some time back because they're a bit older. They're sleeping over there, and then have another one and switch that bit off and start again. And then you just. You go, and then you, because it's your second one, you're going through the same processes, but I fell into the, we fell into the trap of riding and saying, oh well, our first child didn't do that, what's going on? And then you've got to remember that both children are different.
So
our youngest is feels like she's a bit more resilient to things, and I don't know if that's because she's had to slot into our routine rather than you create a brand new routine with your first child, whereas with the second it's they just fit into yours, and it's juggling that time with all of them, and make sure everyone's getting the right amount of attention, and why certain things are happening. It's definitely a bigger jump from no children to having a child. Yeah. I would say.
So
which hopefully that makes you feel a bit better.
Yeah, it does a little bit. To be fair, yeah, not 100%. Yeah, every little helps.
Tiny bit.
Yeah. So had you got a planned gap then, Paul? Had you decided this is how long we want to leave it before we have a second, or was it something that you chatted about a bit further down the line?
I think. We didn't plan the gap. We've always thought we wanted to have two, and then we both went through phases of probably not wanting a second, and then we both kind of came together at the same time. Like, oh, actually, yeah, we want a second child now. It is the right time because of the age. So we did think about it a little bit, before Chris asked the question, yes, our second child was planned. So it was both planned. But we decided it was the right time. And you think about the age gap. We didn't want the age gap to be too big. It's probably just the right time. And my brother's got two girls with a very similar age gap. So we were able to see from them how they interacted and how it was. And then we found out we were pregnant with our second child when we went on a bit of a family holiday. So it's quite nice. Went to Centre Parks. I went out into the back, the sort of open back garden with our eldest. Came back in, and there's my wife holding the wee stick.
Yeah.
Like, oh. So it was quite a nice moment, really. And then it kind of went on from there. But very different pregnancies, very different births. But the process of the second was completely different. I thought it was going to be the same, but it was completely different again in the hospital. Mm. Everything was different, so just prepare for that. But what was interesting was when our second child was born, it was like that she was identical to our eldest.
Yeah, we've got some of the scans like in. So the last one would have been a couple of weeks ago. So what's that, 30 something weeks? I think it is. Put them next to like our eldest's first picture. They both still look like her uncle, but they're both honestly identical. same kind of nose, same kind of nothing against her uncle, like swollen eyes and that. It's
same hairline,
definitely sisters. same. Well, yeah, that was the biggest worry for us because we gave birth, so she had a bit of hair. Then about 3 weeks later, she turned into one of the Mitchell brothers, and then we didn't see hair on her head again until she was like two. So she was like, I don't know, like probably going to look like a right bruiser. But now she's got hair, thankfully. So we've obviously both had the same question when we've had the same discussion. What does it feel like? I suppose it's not as big a question the first time around, but the second time around where you find out that it's going to be another girl. Do you think, what are your emotions at that point?
I think... because my brother's got two girls, we were kind of expecting it. We didn't have a preference. Obviously, boy and a girl, we're like, oh yeah, that'd be quite nice to have a boy and a girl. But we did a bit of an earlier scan, which I think you've done as well. Yeah. We did that with our eldest to get her involved. And at one point, in this scan, I was saying, oh, I think it's a boy to our eldest. I think it's going to be a boy. And her face... and I thought, oh, we're going to have a tantrum here. But then thankfully the expert who's doing the ultrasound thankfully said, no, you're going to have another girl. So she was ecstatic and she was so happy. So having two girls is great. And it's probably going to sound quite bad, but when you go to like soft plays and you see what boys are like when they play, I'm just like, no, I'm quite bad.
Yeah, I think I was just about to say, I'm definitely...
And the way they interact.
A girl dad, poor... As I said, she's quite shy, but she won't really play with dolls and that. She'd rather be doing like sports stuff or hurtling down the back garden on a scooter with no helmet on. We do like safety first. Bong. It's all right. Stop crying. Just did a,
well, yeah.
You, should, you won't do that twice. Oh, she has done it twice. Yeah. So it's you know, if you, it's funny that your brother's got two girls and then you've followed suit. Like, that's because my sister, she had a boy than a girl. So she, yeah, she's, yeah. But you know, I have a little bit of the fact that yeah, trying to carry on the family name sort of thing, was any of that sort of feeling like Game of Thrones or.
I think you think about that for about 10 seconds, yeah. And then it doesn't matter, does it really, at all? We were happy, you know, and our eldest was happy to be having a little sister, and she loves being a big sister, and no problems whatsoever. You can't really, you can't think, oh, I wish it was this. It's no, we're happy, and like I say, yeah, having two girls is great.
Yeah. Oh no! I'm glad.
Although when they're older, I think I won't say that because I'm being the only man in the house. It's going to probably be problematic at some point.
Yeah, I am generally kind of worried about that stage, about like, because I've said it before. I don't really know what goes on. It's all magic, but like, you know, we have to really, as a responsible parent, as a father, you have to be kind of right. Okay, this is going to happen, and if it does, ask your mum.
That's probably one for episode 500 of this podcast.
Yeah, well,
you know, in a few
yeah,
years
yeah. This week we're sponsored by. but yeah, so it's cool that you've been on like a similar journey to Dean and I. So yeah, it's great to have you on the pod. So thanks for coming.
Message there. Yeah, thanks. We'll talk about my fee afterwards.
Well, we don't get paid, so. Well, so I think what we were discussing, I think, and you can definitely, obviously, you can chime in now because you've definitely gone through it. Was I think the next thing we were going to talk about was the fact of like choosing a nursery. So I know, like, obviously, your daughter's now in full on primary. Is it like year one?
Yeah, like reception.
So she's gone through the whole nursery kind of care, and obviously Dean, you're going through that as well. So, so what was your kind of for both of you really? What was your process of finding that that care? Because that's a huge, that's the probably the biggest thing that's going to happen is you're going to choose either whether it's a nanny like the route that we went down or a nursery. They're going to look after the most important thing in your life. And they'll see quite a lot of them. So what was the process for both of you to find the nursery or the nanny that you've chosen in the end?
Do you want to go first, Paul? Go on, go for it.
Yeah, we, in terms of the nursery, our process was probably quite straightforward because of the proximity of the nursery. It's a walk. It's close to home, and that's really important for us, working full-time, having that nursery close to home, and the less time travelling there and in the evening and picking up, and it, the better. So it was quite straightforward that. The process of choosing the school for our eldest was different. We looked through, we looked at a couple of schools. We did have a preference, which was the one slightly further away, but when we went there, I think you just get a bit of a vibe from the school. And we looked at both on the same day, and we just got the impression from the second one we looked at, which is actually the closer one, that she was going to be happier there. Just, you could just tell from the atmosphere in the school. You just pick these things up. The head teacher showed us round, which didn't happen at the first school. They talked through what they do, activities, the education they're going to get, and it was... That was probably a bigger thing than the nursery. The nursery, we did obviously go check it out first. We had a look around. We did a few settling in sessions. And you look obviously at the reputation of it, but knowing it's so close to home and it's got a good reputation, that's all that matters, really. I think it's about putting you've got to trust, put some trust in it until proven otherwise. And we've been happy with it. It's seen our eldest 3-4 years, so... Our youngest will be going.
Yeah, I was just about to say, would your youngest go through the same route, same school, and that?
Yeah, they will. Okay. Yeah, again, because of closeness to home, it makes everything a lot easier.
I think.
So did you have a lot of choice, like? Did you have a lot of choice between? Because obviously, there's catchment areas. But do they still do catchment areas with primaries? So, did you have quite a?
Yeah.
Was it just the two that you had to choose from?
There are catchment areas of primaries, definitely still. But you can go to schools that aren't in your catchment as long as they're not full with children that are from their catchment.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Go on, Paul. Sorry, interrupt there.
Like, I suppose that's difficult now, though. Schools are like there's no room in the inn for a lot of schools, so it's very rare you can have a space. I suppose. Sorry, yeah, Paul. So what was it you were going to say?
Yeah. So we had I think there were just two schools in the catchment area, but in terms of the nursery, we only looked at the one, and we were happy with it.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a no-brainer, really, being around the corner from where we live, and it's been great.
What about yourself, Dean? What was your kind of, was it a similar kind of process for yourself?
So for me, it was probably a little bit different the way that I looked at it, but I looked at it from a reception teacher's point of view. So I looked at it in a different way. But I really like what Paul said there, because actually that's the best way to go at it. I mean, everybody's going to look at nurseries within the proximity of where they live, because they need to have it local so that both parents can drop off or collect. That's obviously important, because if you work in opposite directions from each other, like myself and my partner do, then it's no good having one closer to where we work. It's got to be closer to home. So that's a consideration. What we didn't do was look at Ofsted scores for them. We completely ignored that. And it was more about, like Paul said, getting the right vibe when you go in there and how it feels when you walk in there and how the staff are with you. I think We looked at three in total, and there was one that was just a clear winner out of the two for us, because the first one we looked around, it had a lot of young staff, and as we were being shown around by the manager, she would say, oh, this is such and such, and they wouldn't speak to us. And we were like, well, this is a no-brainer. We don't want to come to somewhere where she's seeing adults not interact with other adults when they've been introduced to them. We went to the other one, and it couldn't have been more different. There was a few younger staff there. There was a lot more experienced staff there. And that was big for me. The first one we looked at had brand new facilities. It looked amazing. And I can imagine a lot of people get drawn in by that. Whereas the second one was an old converted house. So it was a bit more ragged and a bit more, not as well looked after, but you could see that what they had out and what they were doing with the children was really beneficial for them. And you could see that the interactions that the adults were having with the children were just like bang on the money. It was exactly what you wanted. So for us, it was about the people that would be looking after our children more than anything else. And the people that we got introduced to at the nursery that we chose were just amazing. And they have been right from the off.
Ever since, But I suppose it's big for them, because if, like, potentially, that you, because we've already discussed how expensive it is. So, demand obviously drives the price of it. So if they can get a family in with their first child, then that's obviously going to be financially beneficial for them, because then you can do exactly what Paul's doing, is where the 9 times out of 10... next, the following children will go to the same place. So if you can get that generation going through, it's beneficial for them, for you to have that show you around and get that good vibe going, because then potentially, as I said, it's it's almost like a gravy train for them. And
I think one of the things that makes a big difference as well is looking at the ones that are more private nurseries that are just family run, to compare them to like the big chains as well, because it's very, very different. I mean, we're at the point at the moment where we've just sorted out all the tax side of things, where you get your tax credits for that. So that's complicated as hell.
But it's a big relief, isn't it, really?
It's
just like the way it's timed for us is our eldest is obviously getting her hours free whilst my wife is going to be off on maternity leave, so the time of that's gone well. But still, it's a big old percentage of your wages is going out on.
We've got really unlucky, because the prices at where we go have just gone up by a considerable amount. The fact that we're getting the tax free element of it won't make a difference.
Because the price change.
Yeah, and we're going to be having her there more days. So actually, we're going to be paying roughly twice as much as what we are now. Even with the change in the tax element for us. Because we're not entitled to the 3 hours just yet either. So.
And I suppose that's another thing where you'll discuss with your partner about like the having that second child is just like where we can afford it, something.
Yeah.
It's not just being able to obviously afford. Obviously, you want to have some kind of quality of life yourself. But if that's, you know, that's definitely going to be out the window if obviously paying for childcare and if you're both full-time working. Yeah, it's frightening. But our route was a little bit different. So we went down the nanny route to start with, not like a mind as opposed to going to a nursery. So we used a website, childcare.co.uk, to try and find like local like nannies in the area. I think the reason for that is we wanted it to, we were big on the idea of having that one to as little as possible in relation to how many other children they're going to be looking after. So we just kind of found one. We went on their skills, their driving license, whether they have all the qualifications on there. We found this lady was amazing. She might have been recommended. But she was outstanding. She was amazing. So we went, she was pretty early doors. She was there for sort of four days in the week. So we did the whole nanny thing. And she was great because she got like, she developed like really, really quickly. But when we decided to then, because the negative of that is if they're ill or if her daughter was ill, then unfortunately, then we'd have to take that day off from work. And that was becoming a bit of an issue. Then I think then she decided that she wanted to have children of her own. So we then decided to go down the nursery route. And we sort of fell into the trap of that using the Ofsted. So we did use Ofsted for ours to try and drive. So we had a look around one that was outstanding with Ofsted. But when we kind of got there, we just felt like it wasn't quite like you know, orphan nanny with all the kids like cleaning the floors and stuff. Yeah. But there seemed to be a lot of children, like really young, just sit around doing nothing, like a bit like glazed over. So we're like, well, it's just such a weird vibe about the place where, yeah, they didn't like look like they were enjoying themselves. It wasn't really not so much learning. Teacher at home, was there any learning going on or anything like that? Were they progressing? But like. Yeah, so you were perfectly right in saying like they're outstanding, or you're looking at their Ofsted report. It doesn't go anywhere. And then we found another one. They showed us in. Everywhere was tidy. They could see that they let us come at the end of the day because it showed them setting up for the next day. So everything's planned. They've got like not so much lesson plans, but everything's planned out what they're going to be doing the next day. It's all ready for them and things like that. There was an interaction with our daughter and with us as well. It's a family run business. It used to be a hotel actually, so it's similar to what you were saying, Dima. An old kind of building, yeah. So and she loves it there. She's still there like shy in the morning, but like the owner is in the morning. She'll be there to one of the first ones to greet my daughter in, and her daughter works there as well. She's quite a particular, our kid, so she'll sit on a specific chair apparently, so they know her or her little bits that she needs to get through. So yeah, we ignored the Ofsted bit. Not saying that they got a poor Ofsted running, but it wasn't a true reflection of what was going on. We went there and she's enjoyed it, so she's been there for now 2 years maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the whole Ofsted thing, and you see a lot of it in the press at the moment about Ofsteds in schools as well, not to rant on about it too much, but there's a lot of people that are saying it's not fit for purpose. So
no,
paying attention to it is the main reason to choose a place. And I think you just have to go with your gut. I mean, obviously proximity is very important. You can't avoid that.
Yeah.
But don't ever just look at one place. And the same for schools.
No.
I mean, like Paul was saying, he obviously looked at a few different places for schools, which is the right thing to do. Because, I mean, you walk into some places and you're like, I just don't think my child would fit here. I don't think it's the right fit for them. So it's just finding that place that you think is going to allow them to thrive, I suppose.
Yeah. I think our school was close to the nursery as well, so it helped in the transition from nursery to school, because a lot of her friends went as well. So she wasn't going in on the first day, it was like, oh, I'm going with my friends anyway that I already know. So that really helped. So that's another thing to think about, is closeness to the school that you ultimately might go to. That really helped. But I think just the interaction that the engagement your children have with other children is massive, massively helps. And also for you as parents as well, you do tend to meet other parents at the drop-offs and pickups, and it's for the social side of it, it can be quite nice. You meet new friends and whatnot. And for us, it was people where we live.
Yeah.
Get to know other people and share the same sort of things and discussions and whatnot.
What was that first day like? So obviously, did you do like see you in the in the uniform for the first time and she's off for the first time? Was that how was that for you? So obviously taking the pictures and stuff like that, but you sort of it's like she's off into the real world almost. What was that like first morning of primary life?
Yeah. We did all like the classic photos that everyone does, which I've always been really critical of to our children. Like, first day photos, here we go. Same again. No, I'm going to do that now, definitely, 100% on board. Loads of pictures. I booked a day off work. So we took her there with a friend in a pristine uniform. And it was really nice. It's a strange time because it's like the time flies and suddenly they're now starting school, and within a blink we'll probably be saying, oh, she's now starting a secondary school.
Jesus.
But it is a proud moment, and you become, you're just proud of what they've done and what they've got through, and they've come through nursery and they're developing, and now they're going into a new phase of their life, mm-hmm. new stage, and then you see their development from there. So we're already seeing that development now. She's been in reception because she started to read. She reads to you. She comes back and tells you things, and it's they're telling you stories, and you find yourself smiling or laughing because it's just because you're just happy with how they're developing in the world and what they're learning, and then you're pleased with how obviously the teachers are doing at school. They're teaching these things, and so it's really good.
I don't know if it's the same for obviously Dean. You're the other side of the table, but you've probably got an adult's chair. So what's it like for? Have you been a parents' evening yet? You have to sit on a little tiny chair, so you're trying to have an adult conversation with your knees by your ears. What is that?
I've done one parents' evening, but I felt strangely nervous going in. Got any questions? No questions.
Oh, you're one of them parents, are you? Booked an appointment.
One of them parents, yeah. You only get sort of 5 minutes. Knowing that you guys, what you do, it's I always think of it from the teacher's perspective. Like, they must have had to work a really long day today, so they probably don't really want me talking to me. So I won't ask any questions. They just want to get through this.
To be honest with you, it's actually, I don't know how Dean, I feel like it's the opposite. I want them to be asking me questions, because otherwise it's like, well, you've booked an appointment with us. You don't need to see us. So it's just like, okay. I'm of the mindset of, please ask away, like, or else it's not really a lot I can do.
I think you just want to know that they're doing okay, or more importantly, you want to know if there's something that they need to be doing more, or you need to be aware of. Because you don't... The thing is with nursery to school is at nursery, they tell you everything at the end of the day. You get a handover, what they've eaten, what activities they've done. Whereas school, they just leave school at the end of the day, and you don't get anything out of them. So what have you done today at school? Oh, not much, because they're so tired. So occasionally you get little dribs and drabs, like when they're going to sleep. This happened today at school, and you're like, oh, great.
Oh, so that starts quite early then, because because I teach 17, 18-year-olds, and when you ask the parents, like, how do you think they're getting on, they say, well, we don't hear anything. So, we don't get, so that it happens pretty much from day one. It's like a dinosaur could have come through and smashed through and, like, started. Oh, not a lot. My dairy sandwiches were nice, though, Dad.
I think they're just so tired. So that's why, like, we find that when she's not as tired, or when she's relaxed a bit, and she just wants to, I think sometimes she just wants to be quiet in the evening. Sometimes she'll just come out with a load of stuff and it's like, shh, pay attention, she's talking about school. Like,
I think a big part of it, as well, is that they see school as their place to go and do this, but when they're at home, they see that as their place to, like, relax and spend time with their family and play with their toys. So they don't necessarily always attach the two together to start off with, until they start getting homework, I guess.
Yeah.
And then that could be a bit different.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
Homework, we've had to do, we have to make sure she reads, and then we, as the parents, absolutely shocking. I have to write in a book about what she did.
And do you do that? Do you actually do it?
I have to say, today, Luna. So you've got homework. Yeah. And then she gets badges. So somehow I've got homework and maths.
Just got to put it on ChatGPT, mate. Write a 50-word report on the Gruffalo as told by a 5-year-old. I've read it. He dies in the end. He doesn't. He runs off. Chicken.
Spoiler. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
But I think we've talked about it before because I've read the Gruffalo and I really like it. But then I watched the TV show and the mouse is, what's his face? James Corden. And I just want the Gruffalo to eat him, like, slowly.
The mouse or James Corden?
A bit of both. I don't want to there to be beef between two, like... I'm not saying I'm a comic genius of our time, but...
Well, let's just hope James Corden's not listening because he will be...
I don't think he's got children, so if he is...
Well, any publicity. Any publicity.
Yeah, which says it was it. No publicity is bad publicity. Ask Prince Andrew.
Yeah,
just send him a message and drop the audio file in it. See what he says.
So I think we're getting pretty close to the end of that pod, but I think by having your perspective, Paul, you're basically us in 2 years' time, you're us in the future. It kind of puts where we are into perspective because I think I've got it really, really easily now, and it's only going to go downhill because I've got the medical worries that you've got, Dean, and obviously Paul, you've got multiple bums to wipe now. I'm sure your wife's pretty good at doing her own, lad, but you know,
yeah,
there's a line of them.
This one's gonna... there's a lovely image.
There's one of these two wipes.
Well, all I'd say is, Chris, just enjoy the next 6 weeks and enjoy the fact that it will never be as easy as it is now as a parent because it's
going to get harder. Thanks.
Maybe read the list as well. Maybe read that list.
Yeah. Oh, we know it's all right. Just get an update. I know something else has been added. I'm sure it's important. So what was I going to say? That's good for a podcast.
Did you not write it down? You should have written it down.
Oh, no, yeah. So do you, I know it was probably because you obviously had that gap. Do you think two in that's you, or do you think there could be, do you think it could be a 2.4 children? Do you think there'd be three come along or?
No, I can say 100% that we are finished at two. We're very happy. And the reason I know that is because my wife has started to sell off all of the baby things that we don't need anymore. It's been like an eBay factory here, things going out in the post, you know. So that's a sign for me that's
could,
it. We're stopping.
It could be worse.
All the clothes have been sold off, all the young baby toys.
She could come at you with a hot iron just to kind of. We're cutting those bits off.
Yeah. It's a nice way of saying that we're happy with our two children. And, you know, gradually, hopefully, things sort of get easier as the youngest comes out of that newborn baby phase. Yes, is a short answer.
I think we haven't even had the second one yet, and I'm pig sick of it. I'm joking, obviously. I think that'll be the same for us. You got any maybe going for a second, Dean? Or are you happy with the? Because
no,
I
think we're still going to stay with one. To be honest, I mean, part of that for me though is my age. I'm a little bit older, so. I think maybe had we have started much younger, then that might have been an option. But I think we're going to stick with one and be very happy with our family of three. So
me too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you for everybody who's who's listened to episode 8. So we'll keep the Instagrams and social medias going. So hopefully, Paul, you'll be happy to kind of join us most weeks if we can, and fit us into your obviously busy life. We're having two kids, but if you get time, it'd be great for you to join regularly. I thought it went really well.
Yeah, any excuse to get out of parenting is great. So yeah.
This is like your long toilet break.
The acoustics are amazing. This one needs 3 wipes.
Was that a flush on the recording? I think I just heard a drop. Something just dropped. There was a splash.
I'll turn my camera off next time. Sorry.
Oh dear, I think you need a bit more fibre in your diet there, Paul. But yeah, really appreciate you joining us. So for those at home, we'll update the In the Dolls House Pod social media sort of sites and pages with whatnot. So if you're happy to kind of put some of your family stuff on there as Paul, like, once it's vetted, feel free to kind of put them on as well. Because it'd be interesting to see like how you entertain a 5-year-old, because you know, with a 3, they're just constant, and she's just discovered the B word where she's bored. So she's literally doing something she wants to do. She wants to go and put, like, she wants to spread Biscoff on a bloody toast, and like, she bored, like, literally doing what you want to do, like you asked her to.
Nice.
So it was a little bit of a squeeze, but we think it's gone well. So thanks very much, and hopefully we'll see you next time in the Doll's House.